Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. It's time for your Impact Wrestling post show. Hell of a show. But we're going to talk about it. We got a lot to go through tonight, not just in terms of Impact Wrestling, but we're going to talk about Fightful Select. We're going to talk about all the little nitty gritties from the show. We're going to talk about BTI and our good pal, George Iceman. But of course, first, I have to say that I am at Joel Pearl, and I have my ride or die, my number one, my favorite co-host. Sorry, all the rest of you.
Sorry.
I'm a Canadian, but I'm not that Canadian. It's Kristen Starr. How are you, you jerk?
I'll be that. It's not the first time it has been called worse. I'm super congested, so sorry in advance to everyone. If you just see me dodging, I'm blowing my nose so you guys don't see me give the old nose spray. What a good night of Impact. I thought it was great. I actually enjoyed myself. It was really weird, but it was a weird good time. What did you think of Impact overall, Joel, tonight?
This was a strange show. I didn't really know what to expect because they shifted to the Florida tapings. Mm-hmm. I knew what happened, but I obviously don't know what's going on with the backstage taping stuff. There was a lot going on, Cresta. There was a lot of Santino tonight too. I don't know.
He was the star of the show tonight.
We have to be.
I mean, there's a lot of things tonight where I was like, is this what we're doing? Really? But I guess I was sports entertained, though. I'm not going to hold you.
Yeah, I was too. And you know what? If you were sports entertained, you can go ahead, leave a thumbs up on this video. If you're watching us here on Facebook, that's right. I brought Facebook back. I was like, Sean Ross Sapp, can you link the Facebooks again? Because I can't. And he's like, yeah, sure. And then he did it. So now we're back on Facebook.com. We're also on Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. So you can go ahead. You can leave us your bits on there. You can toss us a thumbs up on YouTube.com/Fightful. You can toss us thumbs up on Facebook.com/ I think it's Fightful Online, but don't quote me on it. Just go on Facebook and search it if you're still using Facebook. And if you want to support us financially, you can go ahead and do that. First of all, you can go to youtube.com/Fightful and that little dollar sign gets you a super chat in, any question, any amount, statements read, no questions. Well, I mean, some questions asked. Don't be a dick. That's pretty much the only thing I got to say. And then also you can head over to humperchats.com where you can support us there as well. Cresta, tell them about it.
When you head over to humperchats.com, as always, you can add your question or your comment. You put in your donation amount. We get to keep a little bit more of the funds from that. We're happy. Sean's happy. The wrestling gods are happy. And we'll still read your statement live on air. To quote Joe Pearl, don't be weird. Don't be a jerk. We'll read most of your questions. I mean, you could ask us for advice. It might not be good advice, but you'll get some.
I mean, yeah, I don't give good advice. I mean, I'll give you advice. I don't know if it's good or not. It might
not even be related to what you asked.
No, it might not be. I'm really good like that. You know who else doesn't give advice when asked?
Who?
George Iceman.
Because he's got the intel. He don't need to give advice.
He has literally no intel. Chris, I'm starting to think that this guy is fake news, okay?
Are you calling George Iceman a sham? Fraud?
Yes, I am calling him Brad Hotman because
Brad Heatmeister.
He is clearly not at all bringing us any intel. He's not cold as ice. He's hot as an oven. and his oven ain't got scoops in it.
It okay? Got scoops of coal, ash.
At best. Okay, at best. So what does he do? He's like, hey, no. First of all, he shills that No Surrender is going to be on February 24th. That's a Friday. We'll be here live on YouTube.com/Fightful. We're going to be doing a post show for this No Surrender event. Hopefully, Steven Jensen will join us again. I know that's the plan. We'll see what's going on then. But we will be here regardless of that. And so Iceman says, last week, Joe Hendry released Edge's Bitch, and it went viral, and it did.
So good. Such good shit. It was people in my house who don't watch wrestling were just like, Edge's Bitch.
We'll have more on that later because, boy, did it have its own place tonight. And then George says, Cardona didn't like it. He was irate. He told people backstage that tonight he would retaliate. What does that mean? Because, once again, George Iceman has literally no intel.
He found his scoops on the floor, so I'll pick that up.
Much more. Ricardo opens us up with a super chat saying, Swingman having a 7-star banger on TV. Yes, he is. The man deserves the world. He should be 50-0, not 0-55,000, whatever it is.
He should be champion. Sorry, Josh Alexander. It's no disrespect, but the Swingman deserves his due.
He does. And then G-Bro with a super chat. How do you feel about macaroni and cheese? Cresta, how do you feel about mac and cheese?
Macaroni and cheese are in my big three. Chicken, cheese, carbs. So those top 10, unless it's bad or it has raisins and vegetables in it, then don't ever come to my house.
For those of you who don't know, myself and Ella J, we started a new podcast this week called The Run Sheets, where Ella did talk about her food hot takes, one of which is her feelings towards mac and cheese. Spoiler alert.
Does she not like mac and cheese?
She might not be a fan of mac and cheese. So go ahead. Wherever you find podcasts, you can find The Run Sheet. It's not a Fightful show. It's just Ella and I. Go find us. We just debuted our first episode on Wednesday, and our next one drops on Saturday. That's going to be the plan. Wednesdays, we talk about wrestling news. Saturdays, we're going to talk about wrestling TV. So go ahead, find us there. That's my cheap plug for The Run Sheet. Go check that out. Period. Let's go. Let's talk about BTI. Jonathan Gresham has a great little match with Aiden Prince. I have to shout out Aiden Prince because he's actually, up until this past weekend, the Destiny Wrestling champion up here in Toronto. Nice. Unfortunately, he suffered an injury in his match, his title defense this past weekend. He's got a long road to recovery ahead. He has a surgery scheduled. And the new Destiny interim champion, believe it or not, is Steve Macklin.
Steve Macklin winning everywhere else except his home promotion. Right. What's happening? What is transpiring here?
I don't know what it is. So Macklin came in as a replacement for Jordan Oliver for this Destiny Wrestling show. Oliver was supposed to do the show, but he was replaced 2 weeks before with Steve Macklin. Regardless of what it is, it was nice to see Aiden Prince on the Impact show because, as you can see, he's a very capable wrestler. He's very good at what he does. And when we break down the match, you know, you'll see the little things that are good. So we're going to send our love and our appreciation and hopefully a speedy recovery to Aiden Prince. Had a hell of a match tonight with Jonathan Gresham, who gets the win. Two things come to mind right immediately. The hard cam is back, baby. It's facing the crowd. It's no longer facing the stage. Cresta, I don't know how many times we've talked about this or how many times you've heard me complain about the hard cam facing the stage and making it look like there's nobody there. Tonight, it looked like the room was full. It made it look like a real wrestling show, except for one camera was really, really dark and then everything else was very poorly white balanced. But talk to me about the good stuff.
Gotta tell you, it didn't notice. Remember, I go into 90% of wrestling like, wow, cool wrestling, unless it's like really, really bad, and then I just turn my brain off and say this is sports entertainment. So I thought it was great. It was nice to see Gresham go from jobber, get out of here, to like, just yeah, hey, don't touch me like that, young man. Don't do that. Of course, Jonathan Gresham wins doing the twisty hands and whatever it is. Let me not say twisty hands. I want to give it more respect than that. Jonathan Gresham will fold you like a pretzel, and I thoroughly enjoy that. But I could see why some people might say, okay, all right, enough of that, you know. But it's just, I liked it. But it was really about the post-match. Because Jonathan Gresham versus Mike Speedball, I'm drooling.
So we'll get there in a sec. Just to wrap up the match, I mean, Prince hits a great face buster, or sorry, brain buster, gets 2.9. But the whole match is Jonathan Gresham working over the left knee of Aiden Prince, insofar that Prince ends up tapping out because Gresham is slamming Aiden Prince's knee into the ring over and over and over again. Disgusting. So it's a disgusting finish, but it's a really good finish. Post-match, Gresham grabs the mic. He says, a few months ago, he turned his back on pro wrestling and he said he was done. And he says that the true company that he loves so much closed its doors. I'm starting to think that Jonathan Gresham may have some feelings about his departure from the Ring of Honor of New as it is. But anyway, not going to go there. He says he had to look for something better and he found Impact. He wanted to wrestle against the best talent in the world, and that is an Impact locker room. So he issues an open challenge. At first, I'm just like, okay, this is good. And then he immediately challenges Speedball Mike Bailey, to which I say, well, that's not an open challenge, but at least it's a challenge. And if they do Gresham and Speedball, big thumbs up. Let's go there.
Kenny King, mind your business. That's all I ask. I would understand why you'd want to interfere in that match, but for me personally, mind your business. I just need you to mind you before that one night, because that match, like I started to say, so that's going to be good. Yeah. Good.
Really looking forward to, I mean, listen, it's pretty safe to assume that they're going to be running that match. It's pretty safe to assume they're going to do it. Speedball hasn't given his answer. Let's just say he does. I think it's a hell of a match that you can run.
Absolutely. I could absolutely see Kenny King minding his business. I could also see Kenny King saying, oh, nah, especially after tonight. But just again, Kenny King, mind your business. All I ask. If you don't, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. I'm just trying to catch up because for some reason, the chat on this thing is okay. We're good. It was doing a thing. Now it's working. Let's roll into Impact, the main show. Ace of Bays opens up against Kushida and Knight. This is a rematch from the Super Junior Tag League that New Japan did. The match that originally happened between Kushida, Knight, and Ace of Bays won. Mm-hmm. So now they're 2-0 because they won this match too. But this was a great match.
Yes.
A lot of really fun stuff. By the way, No Surrender is going to be in Vegas. Chris Bay is a Las Vegas native. I think we might see some fun for the old Bullet Club in Las Vegas. What do you think, Cressa? Do Motor City Machine Guns and Ace of Bays in Vegas?
I absolutely think so. I know that Impact Wrestling is really good for good old hometown feeling. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I saw on Twitter during the show that Ace of Bays won the Wrestling Revolver tag titles, if not tonight or real recently.
Okay, good for them. Go around and win them all.
I mean, come on now, be belt collectors. That's the thing to do. That's the way to go. So I hope that this keeps building, because this was a really fun match. I really enjoy Kushida, but I also have to put over Kevin Knight, because he was doing the damn thing in that ring tonight. I really thought tonight was a showcase of Kevin Knight and Chris Bay, because last week it was a real showcase of Ace Austin, because I think Ace Austin was performing superbly. So I really like the direction the Bullet Club is going. I also want to, I'm looking at my notes, that's why I'm looking down. My apologies, y'all. The big springboard that got intercepted by Chris Bay. Oh, sure. That was so good.
Yeah, just getting into that art of finesse, coming off, you know, Knight's going for a big springboard to the outside, and all of a sudden Chris Bay pops out off the top rope from the turnbuckle, from the side, hits the art of finesse in midair. There's a lot of really fun stuff. They get to a chicken fight spot, and the way they get to it was they were going to play back the Kevin Knight's got the hops, right? Kushida's got Chris Bay, think about that, on his shoulders. And then Knight was going to go for the tall hop and then take out Chris Bay. But as he goes for the hop, in comes Ace Austin, who intercepts him and gets him on his shoulders. And then they start the chicken fight. And it's good. Little things like that make this more fun. Another thing that made it fun was Kushida. When he gets a hot tag, he doesn't just go and like his fire isn't about punching people. He does shotes. He just does those palm strikes. And that looks really good. I like stuff like that. The only thing I don't like is that they're still doing that really strange extra widescreen entrance for Bullet Club when they come out. That's a production thing.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about. It is a little strange, but again, I go into everything sports entertainment minded, rose-colored glasses. I also will say that it was a nice mix to me of athleticism and comedy, especially when they held down Knight and did the too sweet and scratched his back. Yes. I'm like, y'all are... I liked it.
At the end of the day, Bullet Club have always been trolls, but they're eventually trolls that win. They get Knight back into the ring after they do that Art of Finesse spot in midair. Mm-hmm. They hit the Art of Finesse again and then into the fold by Ace Austin. He pins Kevin Knight. It's a great match. Go out of your way to see it. It opened up the show tonight. Just simple, straightforward tag team wrestling. These four guys had it.
Yeah, I agree. I have nothing else to add besides watch that. It started off hot. I do have more to add. It started off hot. So yeah. This set the tone for Impact, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. We move on. The Design is talking to Callahan. They say step 3 of 7 of the deadly steps was for Callahan to win the match last week and bring the world title to the Design. He failed, so there will be consequences. Diener says he knows how Sammy feels. He's in the position that he was in before and that no mercy was given to Diener. But Sammy's fate is different because the Design need to go to battle together. So Diener, this is going to happen so many times. I'm going to mix up Diener and Tommy Dreamer.
Don't you ever.
So Diener is going to show mercy and let Sammy Callahan redeem himself. Mm-hmm. This is step 4. Last week, we were talking about how Tom Hannifin was putting over the fact that this was the final step. We knew this was a 7-step process. But why is step 4 redeeming yourself when what was step 4 supposed to be originally? Since we know that there are 7 steps.
Maybe he anticipated him failing because Diener said a good point. I know what it's like. I've been in your shoes. And when I messed up, rightfully so, Eric Young beat the piss out of him. So I understand where he's coming from. But at that same token, like you said, what would have been it if you would have won? Was it like a fail safe? If you would have won, you would have been number one contender. So the redemption would be to win the title. I guess it would have changed if you would have won. You know what I mean? So maybe there is no real book. You're writing it as you go.
I'm not against that as an answer, by the way, mm-hmm. because these guys are so crazy that it would make sense that they're just, it's as you go. 7 steps. Oh, sure. Why not? It's like choose your own adventure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like 7 has any type of numerical significance. You just picked that number. You could have said a 12-step program and we still would have believed you. 7 just fit between now and was it Hard to Kill or No Surrender? You know what I mean? Like it just seemed to fit. It was just
between the two. And that was what we figured out when they said there are 7 steps. They're like, how many weeks? There's 7 weeks until the next pay-per-view. Okay, fine. It's obviously going to play out by No Surrender. Whatever that's going to be, we'll see. But step 4 was to redeem himself. Spoiler alert, he passes step 4. Steph DeLander debuts next week. For those who don't know Steph DeLander, she's the former Persia Parada from NXT.
I thought I recognized her. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so she's making her debut next week. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff to talk about next week, just like there is this week, because we kick off Giselle Shaw and Savannah Evans with commentary and a bunch of others calling Giselle Shaw the Black Widow. Mm-hmm. And she's getting rid of everyone in the Knockouts division.
Every tag team.
And so they mentioned that Tasha Steele's taking time off. They're using her departure as a bit of an excuse to like get her out of the way. And then they'll bring her back when she needs to be hot again and when she's ready. And I'm great with that. I'm happy to see that. Evans has a great fisherman suplex. Can't say a bad thing about that. The finish is basically Jay Vidal does this little dancey dance, distracts the referee, and then Shaw rakes the eyes, hits a super kick, and then the denouement, and that's the win, and then the post-match. Giselle grabs the mic and says, I'm going to embrace my Black Widow. Doesn't care if it's Tasha Steeles, The Influence, or Chelsea Green. They're all gone because of Giselle Shaw. She said, I'm not meant for tag team wrestling. I'm meant to destroy every competitor I step in the ring with. The spotlight did, does, and always will belong to Giselle Shaw. What do you think about this match? What do you think about this promo? I thought this was pretty damn good.
I'm going to give it up to Savannah Evans. Something about her in this match reminded me of Karma and Jo Doring in the best way possible. She was stiff, strong, imposing, and that spear or shoulder push into the corner where she got both her legs in the air. I'm like, dude, if I was Giselle Shaw, I would have shit myself. Like, that looked like it really hurt. Like, it was really good. I will also say much credit to Giselle Shaw. I'll be that. You know what I mean? And I like that she's getting more serious. And I know we touched about this, I think, a while back, that if she got to a more serious character, we would be here for it. So hell yeah, Giselle Shaw, talk your crap. I don't know what you're going to do when you have to face Deonna Purrazzo, but I like the confidence. You know what I mean? Like, I like the confidence. I love it. So, I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe she could, even if it's not cheating, because I did like that she cheated. It fits her character, But it's like, I would like to see you run it back versus Masha and maybe win. Not now.
How many times will we sit here and say that once Giselle Shaw gets this serious character and starts really running through the knockouts division, will we see a potential where something like what you just said with Masha, if Masha's the knockouts champion and these two meet up again, if they're both going to be in different places in their Impact careers, there's room for that.
I think in order for her to take on like a Masha, she would have to fight a Killer Kelly. And I think that'll be like a good benchmark stick. Because Killer Kelly is really good, and I think that she's getting better as time goes on. But I think once she does this tag team thing, and I think maybe she'll probably do like a championship run before Giselle does, I think that'll be a good benchmark. Because Killer Kelly and even Taylor Wilde are stiff. So I think that'll be a real good benchmark to see where she's at. And then, I mean, run it back with Grace, too. I mean, last time Grace kind of ragdolled you. So it'd be cute.
What's also cute, Ami Soko sends a super chat, says, go to Swinger's Dungeon, turn to page 58. Choose your own adventure, especially as Swingman might do. Speaking of which, Kenny King runs into Aiden Prince and someone else. I didn't catch who the other guy that... Aiden Prince is the one in the glasses. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other dude eating popcorn. And anyway, they're talking about Rich Swann, and Kenny King's like, why are you talking about Rich Swann when I expose Mike Bailey as a homicidal maniac? I'm a fan of Kenny King, who, by the way, recently re-signed a deal with Impact Wrestling. So
nice.
He'll be around for a little while, which is nice to see. What, like, I love that Kenny King is so delusional still after getting beat the F up by Speedball. And then he approaches Swingman and Zicky Dice. They're talking about the Bengals, of course.
I don't watch. I think that's football, so I don't know.
Football. Ask Sean Ross Sapp about it. Maybe don't. Maybe he's over it. Oh, it was Jake Price. Thank you for that in the chat. So Zicky puts over Swingman, and he says, you can get an autograph, you can get a meet and greet, you can get a fight. And Swingman's trembling. Like he's got the DTs. He's got some shakes going on, okay? He's not happy. And then Kenny's like, next time he sees Zicky and Swingman, he'll be pushing Swingman in a wheelchair, not in that cart. And then they decide to make the match official when they come back from break. Santino is now in like a string of segments and interviews and whatever where he's going to do a bunch of stuff. So Santino's with Kenny King, makes the match official. Kenny King walks off. Okay, so we're going to do Swingman and Kenny later in the night. Choose your own adventure. And then in walks Steve Macklin. Steve Macklin calls Santino an embarrassment. And then Macklin says, I beat Rich Swann at Hard to Kill, so at No Surrender, it should be a triple threat match. And here's the problem, Crest the Star. He's right.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Now we get more convoluted. This is the stuff that sometimes Impact Wrestling absolutely drives me up the wall about. He says, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to have four singles matches. And the winners of those matches will make up a four-way match at No Surrender for the number one contendership to the Impact World Championship. And Macklin's like, great, another hoop for me to dance or I'll do it. And then in walks Dirty Dango, and Macklin just walks off disgusted, which to me was hilarious. I was like, that you are all of us right now, Steve Macklin, thank you. Dirty Dango calls himself the deputy director of authority, says, I'll stooge on the boys, I'll walk through walls, I'll do anything. All I want to do is have a qualifying match. Stooge on the boys, that's right. And Santino's like, go away. And Dango's like, you're telling me if I go away, I'll get to be in one of these qualifying matches? And Santino's like, no, you're in a qualifying match. Get away from me. Dango goes for a hug. It's really awkward, and it's not great. Like, I get that Dango is supposed to be a comedy character, Cresta, but, like, this is not great. What was your feeling, especially having heard this past week, that Dango has signed a bit of a deal with Impact Wrestling as well?
Well, let's start from the top.
Please.
Kenny King saying that he normally doesn't beat up on anyone that collects Social Security is an underrated line, and I just had to point that out. That was rude and disrespectful to Johnny Swinger. Second of all, also have to point out what Zicky Dice said. Remember what you told me? And Johnny Swinger said what? He said, I don't remember either. Those two are the best words. And honestly, just one time for the one time. With all the crazy stuff you do, Impact, Just do it. Just one time for the one time. I'm sports entertained. Now with Santino Marella being the director of authority, I agree with Macklin. And Macklin is not wrong. They're giving everyone a title shot. The guy I beat just happened to beat people in a match that I wasn't in. And now I got to fight other people to be the next guy. You should have made it a triple threat. you should have made it a triple threat. It's another hoop that, yeah, Macklin's going to go through, but it's like, I feel like at the time we see Macklin versus Josh Alexander, if Macklin doesn't go over on Alexander, me as a fan, as a viewer personally, I'm going to kind of be frustrated. And it's nothing personal against Josh Alexander, but it's like, how many hoops? If you think Macklin's going to beat him, like, I'd rather you say that kind of at this point. And if not, just let them have the match. Let them have the match.
It's so incredibly strange that we're going to play this out. I don't know how long the... I don't know if the winner of the No Surrender match gets the match at Sacrifice for the world title or if it's going to be stretched out to Rebellion.
And if I'm Macklin, let's assume Macklin wins that match. I got to wait till Rebellion. I got to wait till Sacrifice. The numbers don't lie. And they spell disaster for me because I don't want to wait till Sacrifice. I've gone through like 4 pay-per-views at this point.
I agree. And both of these things... Both of these shows are on Canadian soil. One's in Windsor, which is like Scott D'Amore's hometown. And the other one is in Toronto, which is Josh Alexander's hometown. So like Macklin can't win. And also Macklin is going to, it's almost becoming a overcome the odds babyface story. If you really look at it.
And if you squint.
That feels like we're reaching. But like if you really put it together, it looks like you can do a double turn, but I don't think anyone's going to buy it because most Canadians are not going to boo their hometown or local hero. And like Macklin is still he's raw, raw American, but he's not. The only thing that makes him American is that, you know, the tag him and bag him, the army type of gimmick that he has.
I mean, I will say
he's from New Jersey, so clearly that's a problem.
I mean, I'm from New York, so F New Jersey. Yeah, thank you. Well, it's more one of those situations of will Impact leave Canada upset? Yeah, I mean, you can't leave the hometown crowd happy every time. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's okay to leave a mat to further a story. I rarely see Impact do it. I see WWE do it all the time. Oh, this is your hometown hero? Oh, he losing. And he got kissed Vince McMahon's ass. You know what I mean? So it'd be weird. Well, not so much like weird, but it'd be interesting to see Impact do it. But I don't think that's like... At some point, you got to have Macklin versus Alexander. At some point.
You can do it multiple times.
Agrees.
This could happen multiple times. I'm not against that as long as there's a good story to tell with it. I just don't, I guess I know where they're going. They're just really stretching it out. And if Macklin isn't the one who wins this fatal four-way number one contendership, then he's got to find another way in. And we've been talking about Macklin and Alexander for really since we started doing these post shows.
Yeah. I want to say since like the summer.
Easily, if not earlier than that. It's been absolutely wild to think that like we're on this collision course, which I like, but now we're starting to get to this whole, like, making diversions for the sake of stretching out the story.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, if Macklin bully raid it, wouldn't be mad because you'd be absolutely justified.
We're going to talk about him in a little bit, too. Crazy Steve. Yeah. I don't want to even go there. Not right now. I'm not ready yet. I'm not angry enough. Crazy Steve takes on Sheldon Jean. Sheldon Jean is good. Just like he was last week against Jonathan Gresham, this time with Crazy Steve. Not much to say here. You know, Steve isn't exactly tall, but Gene's still got the hops. Mm-hmm. Cannonball from Crazy Steve and then a Belladonna's Kiss, which is a top rope DDT, gets the win. Post-match, Trey Miguel tries to hit Steve with the spray paint, and instead Steve bites Trey. That's just what you do. You bite the guy. And then steals the spray paint and tags himself with Trey's logo again. Cresta, have you ever ingested aerosol spray paint? Because it feels like it can't be healthy.
There's a drug joke in there, but at the risk of us getting demonetized, I'm not going to say anything.
Heard worse things on these podcasts.
All right, great.
They literally talked about happy endings for a good solid 20 minutes on the Raw.
I do remember that one time Denise Salcedo did not know what a particular porn was.
And oh, yes. The step host. You can find that over on our Scraps channel. If you just search Spiteful Scraps after this, you'll see a whole bunch of clips from interviews and times that Denise has made a fool of herself. One of which includes her, like, her fire alarm going. I don't know what our Scraps channel is such a like wonderful mess. You should go check it out. Spiteful Scraps.
Well, if that's the case, no, I've never done poppers.
Someone is laughing.
Ladies and gentlemen, exposed by my roommate. Thank you very much. Nice having you on for the show.
Backstage with Gia Miller and Jordynne Grace. They talk about the tap out again. I like that. Keep bringing it up. Keep talking about the tap out because now it's a story beat. Jordynne Grace says, I have a rematch coming up. Regardless of who wins, I'm going to take the Knockouts World Championship, whether it's Mickey or Masha, I don't care. And then she says, Steph DeLander is looking for a challenge. So I'm going to take on Steph DeLander next week. So it's going to be Jordynne Grace and Steph DeLander in her debut match. I'm sorry, Steph, that you're about to have to go through that.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, she finna beat this new girl up. Damn, 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 damn.
This is my favorite segment of the night. Raven is backstage on his iPhone with his Aftershocks on. We talked about the Aftershocks on the Hard to Kill post show. They are the bone conducting headphones. They don't go in your ears. They go on. They sit here. And they're great for cyclists or active people who are outdoors all day. Anyway, so he's wearing those things and he does not care. Santino is like, I hear you're a genius and I want your advice.
Who told him that?
The longstanding story is that Raven, legitimately, the guy, Raven, is a Mensa member. He's legitimately a very smart guy. So we're playing off that.
He dumbs it down to fit in with us. I respect it.
Yes, he does. He did a lot of things to fit in with us. So he says, you want to make this company money? Make me the champ. He does like the most WCW in the 90s pitch ever. And I love it. And he says, people pay money to see the champ. People pay money to see me. That's how you'll be rich. And Santino's just like, I'll consider it. And then suddenly, my favorite member of the flock shows up.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Oh, his name was Reese.
I don't remember the flock, but I was watching Impact on YouTube, and they're all like, the flock was WCW. It was something else on Impact, and his name was... Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm being exposed in 8K.
So the Yeti was Ron Reese. Reese is his name. Yeah. So he calls him the Yeti because the Yeti was played by the same guy who then played Reese in WCW with the Flock. One of my favorite groups ever was the Flock in WCW. Anyway, this also needs we need Lenny and Lodi to show up. Like we need all of the members of the Flock to suddenly show up with Raven just for a week. Why not? Anyway, Reese shows up and he says, are we putting the flock together, boss? And Raven's just like, calm down, Yeti. And then they pause for a beat, and it's just a little too long. And then all of a sudden, Reese says, you hurt my feelings when you're mean to me. Sometimes I cry at night. And that's the segment.
It's okay to be vulnerable, young men. It's okay to tell someone who's habitually mean to you that, hey, you hurt my feelings. And sometimes I cry at night. Bring it in. It's okay to cry.
And you know what else? It's okay to subscribe to Fightful Select.
Not you shilling.
Your $5 a month will get you all the reasons not to cry. In fact, we'll be the reason maybe you laugh, because Ask Grapsody was on today. We've got all of our other pods. Sean Rossap does a backstage report. He does a Q&A. There's list goes on. Alex Pawlowski, if you want to laugh and maybe cry, I don't know, maybe you feel a little bad for Alex because he does Sour Graps twice a week, talking about the sourness of WWE, Raw and SmackDown. Maybe that's what you want. Or maybe you want to hear stories about WWE's morale after the Royal Rumble.
Who?
Spoiler alert. It's good.
Oh, I was not a C. See who doesn't check their emails or read their Patreon. Don't be like Cresta.
Patreon's been messed up all day. I get it. I started getting stuff from like this past week on my phone today.
Oh,
Patreon's been 10 out of 10. But now it's fixed. It doesn't matter. It works. If you want notes from Stardom wrestler Mariah May, had an interview with Scott Edwards. We got the notes from that interview before it drops. And maybe Brock Lesnar has a little heat on him. Huh? You find out more if you go and subscribe to Fightful Select. Get your $5 in. We have more intel than George Iceman. Yes, we do.
You better stop before he challenges you to a match. Then what you gonna do, brother?
I'll have a match with George Iceman. George, if you want to talk, let's have an ice off.
Special guest referee, Crest the Star.
What's an ice off? It's like we're gonna get a 24-pack of Smirnoff Ice.
What is this? 2008?
I don't know. I was in high school, so 2004. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably around there.
I was just under 4,000 years old then. I was a wee lad.
I'm old. Anyway, let's keep going. Speaking of old, Bully Ray shows up and he tears up a child's sign. The floor director reluctantly gives him a microphone and he stares down another child, a little girl. This I liked, by the way.
I was sports entertained by this Bully Ray, honestly, and I've been hating on this man for weeks.
I'm going to tell you guys a secret, because I know none of y'all, I could probably ask the entire internet and like 1,000 people be like, oh yeah, I knew that. Did you know that Bully Ray is currently a baby face in the NWA?
With a face like that, how?
Anyway, you tapped out, Chance. And then Bully's like, I'm starting to get the feeling that people around Impact don't like me. The wrestlers don't like me. The management don't like me. The fans don't like me.
No way.
I just berated. They don't like me. Anyway,
I can't see why.
Like, I feel like the entire wrestling business doesn't like me. And I'm just like, well, you just wrestled as a babyface on the National Wrestling Alliance show. But I understand where you're coming from, Bully. I get it. And then he does the Tommy versus Bully talk. And I tune out. It's like, I didn't like each other. We didn't like each other in ECW. We didn't like each other in WWE. We don't like each other on Busted Open Radio, which you can find on XM. He basically gave the full pitch. He says, we tolerate each other. We deal with each other. And then he goes on. He says he's the realest guy in the room. How you doing? Says he's the most honest guy in the room. He tells it like it is, blah, blah, blah. And then he does the Josh Alexander. Everyone's lying to you, but this time it's Tommy Dreamer subbed in. I'm not enjoying this right now, Cresta. It's not good. I cannot watch this anymore.
I'm not going to hold you. For the first time since Bully Ray pulled up, maybe since the first time he pulled up, I was actually sports entertained by this segment.
You liked it?
The whole thing in totality, actually, I did. I'm a little bit ashamed, but I did. First of all, menacing a child will always get a cheap pop out of me. Cheap hometown heat and legitimately menacing a child. That kid's going to grow up thinking professional wrestling is real and she's going to hate you. That's kind of funny. So,
I come into this again because I am as level-headed as can be. I don't have a problem with Bully Ray being a part of Impact. I don't have a problem with Bully Ray doing this thing. I have a problem with the story we're trying to tell in 2023 between Bully and Tommy. And now Mickie James is involved and she's the Knockouts World Champion. And this is, I'm going to start calling this Busted Open Island, because this is what it is. It's Bully, it's Tommy, and it's Mickie, who's on the show herself every week now. And they do a thing and Bully's like, I'm going to threaten to beat you up, Mickie. And Mickey's like, get the hell out of Impact, Bully. And then calls her, you know, calls her a champ and then says, oh, should I say tramp? And then that's the moment where it's too far. Mickey slaps Bully. Then Hotch and Skyler show up as Bully's going to go for a power bomb on Mickey James. And then Tommy shows up and he clears the house. And then he's like, I'm hardcore. She's country, hardcore country. So together we're hardcore country. And I'm like, stop it. Just stop it.
Stop it. Get some help.
Stop it. Hotch and Skyler are then challenged to a match by Tommy and Mickey, and they're like, no. And then out comes Santino again. And he's like, Tommy, you can't make matches, but I can make matches. And I'm like, but Tommy could make matches back when Scott was in charge. So why can't Tommy make matches now? It just wasn't great. I just didn't like it. And then the match is going to happen next week. And then this is the best part where Santino calls Bully Ray Bobby Ray. He says it's forbidden from ringside. And if they don't abide, Santino will drop the hammer and put the Thor back in authority. I thought that was a clever line. The rest of the segment was not good, in my opinion. Please just talk me off the ledge. Why not?
Okay. So let's start with why I thought it was okay, good. When Bully Ray was coming down that ramp, you were taking mad long like you were Undertaker. So I already knew you were clowning. Your song is not that slow. Hurry up. Get to the ring. Second of all, the crowd chanted, you tapped out. The guy in the front who was doing the violin while he was talking, 10 out of 10. In my mind, I'm thinking this is Impact Wrestling. What could this be building to? Mickey James versus Bully Ray.
For the Knockouts Championship, Mickey James and Bully Ray.
To prove a point. And I know that sounds like chaos. But if Bessa Tanchard can challenge for the main title, Bully Ray can challenge for the Knockouts title, right? So that's the only thing, because it doesn't make sense. And then on top of that, everybody hate Bully Ray. But only Tommy Dreamer came out. Right. At that point, I knew it was sports entertainment. And I turned my brain off. I was like, you know, this is actually kind of funny. Because at this point, you've got to be building towards Bully Ray and Mickey James. Because if you're doing this, if you're using Mickey James as a vessel to build towards Bully Ray Dreamer, put some respect on that woman's name. You can't be doing that. Yeah, you can't be doing it. You got to be building for Bully Mickey. You got to be. Because don't use Mickey to, don't do that.
Then you got to have some sort of tomfoolery involved, because it's got to be like title versus like loser leaves Impact title type of thing. And Bully's got to lose. And that's it. And then Mickey keeps going. But come on, man. We just spent months building up Mickey James as like the Knockouts champion, as the person who heads up the Knockouts division, or she leaves the company. Why are we still doing this with Bully? Again, back in AEW, when Cody was there, we had Cody Island, where everything that was Cody Rhodes related, just it was completely on its own and it made no sense. Now we're doing that here in Impact with Busted Open Island, and it just, it's not hitting for me. I don't know if anyone, listen, if you're in the chat and it's hitting for you, let us know. I'm not gonna tell you you're wrong. I'm only speaking for my own, you know, my own feelings. Or if you're watching after the fact, you know, leave a comment, let us know. But like, yeah, like I see someone in the chat being like, maybe this is Nick Aldis coming in. I don't think Nick Aldis is coming here. I think he's more likely to show up in WWE where there's a lot of money involved. Mm-hmm. But for me, this whole thing, like you said, Cresta, feels like it has to end with Mickey versus Bully, which is not good.
I mean, I agree to an extent, but it's like, I again, it has to be something. It has to be something. It does bother me that out of everyone telling Josh Alexander, Bully Ray is this, Bully Ray is that, Tommy Dreamer is the only one who's going to stand up to Bully Ray. Like, literally jump him. Literally jump him. Like, Heath Rhino, you just jump him. Just jump him. It's not like Aces and Eights is still there anymore. Jump him. I don't understand. I don't get it. And again, if this is a building only to Dreamer, Bully, like you said, what were we doing with Mickey for the last rodeo? What were we doing for those last 3 months? That seems a little disingenuous to her. But a loser leaves town, you could do it better than Mickey versus Bully. I would like to see it, though. I would like to see Mickey hit it with the good, the big DDT on Bully Ray. That'd be kind of funny. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Mosh Savage is going to beat the brakes off her. But, I mean, hey, a girl could dream. I would like to see it.
Dobby the Brain Heenan with a super chat. Do we think Bully and Mickey leads to Aldis coming in to eventually fight Bully Ray? I don't want it to be that way. That's the thing. I don't. Then you've got Nick Aldis coming in to fight Mickey's fight. And the whole point is that Mickey is such a badass on her own that she can fight her own fight. Like, there's no reason that Nick Aldis comes in to fight his wife's fight because she can do it on her own. Same reason he didn't show up at her winning of the Knockouts Championship. It didn't make sense for him to do it because then he'd be stealing from her moment. I don't think this leads to Aldis and Mickey doing a team thing. I don't. If I'm wrong, sure, I'll eat that crow, but it doesn't feel that way. What do you think, Cresta?
I mean, I don't know. Because to me, that would make more sense than Mickey versus Bully. I mean, she can. I feel like Mickey could absolutely fight her own fight. But at some point, when is enough enough? You know what I mean? Bully Ray is not... Bully Ray is above Sami Callihan. And Sami Callihan is a jerk. And I say that because I'm drawing the comparison between Tessa Blanchard challenging for the title with Callihan. And now in a hypothetical situation, a Bully Mickey James situation. So it wouldn't make sense if Aldis came, because you're not going to disrespect my wife. How many times? Because I also know how you give it up. Even if you lose, you're still going to menace my wife. And you'll actually injure my wife. You are the Randy Orton of the you don't care. You will do it. You and Moose will do it. And if I got to come and step in to retire you, old man, I will. My wife can do it, but I'm not going to let you hit my wife. So I could see it. I could see it. I've never seen personally Nick Aldis wrestle, so I'm interested, and I trust Impact to do something good with it, but I could see it. I don't think it's that far-fetched.
I haven't seen Nick Aldis wrestle with that much of a chip on his shoulder and that much anger before. Mm-hmm. And someone I'm sure has, and that's fine, but like, he's never been in this incarnation of Nick Aldis has never been known to be that guy. He's always been prim and proper, Mr. Wrestler. I'm very good at what I do, proper British gentleman, yada, yada, yada. If he's brought in, it has to be Bully, Hotch, and Skylar put Mickey through a table, absolutely take her out, make her look like she's gone for, like she's done.
Dixie Carter.
Yeah, they basically have to do a stretcher job with Mickey, and it has to happen after she drops the Knockouts Championship. Because if you do that while she's Knockouts Champion, then everything she just did is for naught, and there's no reason why we're here. That's the only way that this works, if you bring in all this to then avenge his wife's basically complete burial and stretcher job and so on and so forth. That's the only way I see it working.
I mean, we like you said, we both could be far off. Nick Aldis could go to AEW, WWE, but you know, maybe it might be a gimmick change. If he is Mr. Prim and Proper, sometimes Speedball is a good example. Sometimes just need a legally distinct pit where fighting commences to change that, you know? So
I get it. We're going to see where it goes. I don't think it. I don't think it includes Nick Aldis. I think I don't know what I think. I just think I don't really enjoy this. And again, in 2023, Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer is not a matchup in any way, shape, or form. I want to see it. Hotch and Skylar are going to give them a good match next week with Mickey and Tommy, but it's still going to be very much about Mickey and Tommy winning the match.
Yeah, I agree. 4,000%. Yeah. I wonder where it goes. I'm going to trust Impact. Don't betray my trust.
Oh, big words. Big words from Cresta Starr. Let's go. Killer Kelly's in the back with that weird, I don't even know what this is, red tinting. And she's like, Taylor Wilde's still obsessed with me. I'm down with that. And I'm like, Kinky Kelly's back. And then Taylor Wilde walks in. She's like, no, Kelly, you misunderstood.
Kinky Wild.
We're going to be kinky sisters. We're going to be kinky together. We don't need to stand across the ring from each other. The spirits want us as a tag team. And then Kelly's like, well, then who do I get to play with? And then in teleports the Duck Dolls. And I love this. Taya, this is a continuity thing where whenever they do these things, Taya is sick because she's not one of those undead people.
Yeah.
She's always like, oh, you gotta warn me when you're gonna do that. And she's queasy. It's funny stuff. Well, I like a little continuity in my wrestling. So then Taylor Wilde's like this, or apparently Taylor Wilde's spirits transcend the dark realm, and therefore the Death Dolls reside there and they can hear the spirits. So they were ahead of the curve, and they're gonna do a match between Death Dolls and Wild and Killer. It's so silly and so camp and it's so stupid, but I absolutely love it because then they all know how bad it is because they do the Austin Powers laughing segment. Austin Powers where they're all the evil folk are sitting around the table. They're all laughing and it's just a little too long and a little too much.
A little.
And it just hangs and it's almost.
Yeah. It was funny because you can see that there's levels. The only one who was really into that was Rosemary, cackling herself, her face off. Also, too, I also want to point out that Rosemary pretty much did the Bane monologue. You talk to the spirits? We were born in the spirits. We practically live in the spirits. We didn't see daylight till we were men. So I thought it was nice, like you said, to get ahead of the curve. I know you've been talking to the spirits. That's me. I'm the spirit.
So again, I don't mind it because I like that this tag team's happening. I like that, again, anything Undead Realm is super camp and it's they're making fun of it themselves by, again, they hung on to that laughing a little too long. And if you don't have the context of it just being silly, then you're not going to enjoy it. But in this case, I did because they're not taking themselves too seriously until they get to the ring.
True.
And then they try to outkink each other.
I mean, I have nothing nice to say, so continue.
Speaking of kinky, Swingman's taking on Kenny King.
Good segue. 10 out of 10.
Thank you. I'm sure they meant to do it, too. Kenny King, by the way, walking out with his wrist tape, having Jay Briscoe's name on it. Very classy. Love that. Not much to say here. He beats Swingman. It's a bit of a comedy match. Swingman's just ducking, trying to get out of every kick.
Justice for Swingman.
Royal Flush gets the win. Swingman is robbed again. Post-match. Call Swingman a weird old man.
I mean, come on now.
Let's kick them when they're down.
I like you, Johnny Swinger, but come on now. Come on now. Come on. The Swing Dungeon coming out in a Royal Rumble 3. Come on now. Come on now.
Oh my God. Kenny Kink.
Kinky Kelly and Kelly. Wait. Kinky Kelly and Kenny Kink.
Yes, and Kinky Wild. Anyway, Kenny Kink, as we're now going to let him be known.
Now he has to join the Swing Dungeon.
Yes, he has to join the Swing Dungeon. But first, he puts all the champions on notice. I'm interested in seeing where Kenny King goes next because he and Speedball did do stuff for the X Division Championship. Uh-huh. I wouldn't mind seeing Kenny King find himself a tag partner and go for those tag titles at one point. Don't know who, though.
I don't know who, because I think Kenny King oozes charisma. He would need someone that's just as athletic as he is, but also someone who's going to be able to keep up with him charisma-wise. And my mind just said, Joe Hendry.
Stop. Stop it. I don't know who Kenny King could be a partner with. I don't know who he could tag in with. I don't know who he could bring in that would make sense.
I don't know either. But I'm willing to see it. I'd like to see it.
So a bunch of people mentioned the Masha Slamovich angle. Bully comes out and he's just like, damn, girl, it's good to meet you. And I'm like, oh, we're doing creepy. This is great.
I would have pulled out my pocket knife and that woman went, back away, old man.
Yeah. Says Mickey James should be afraid of her. And then Masha's going to be the next Knockouts champion. Just butter her up. And then Masha replies in her native tongue, in Russian, basically says, thank you. And then my Russian then goes from there.
I thought she was hitting him with the, beat it, old man. You know I don't speak English and anybody trust you, so neither do I. Bam! Bleh! That's it. That's all.
I meant to ask my friends who do speak Russian what she said.
So, I tried to turn on closed caption, but I thought about it too late. So if anybody speaks Russian in the chat or has a quick translation, I would like to be sports educated, not just sports entertained. Thank you.
I don't trust any of y'all until I get that translation. Anyway, Matt Cardona has a diss track. It is so bad, it's great. Okay.
Nah. Nah.
Hendry looks weird. He's got stupid blonde hair and a black beard. And then
so do you.
He's thank you. And then he says he's going to take Joe Hendry's mom on a date. At that point, I said, Matt Cardona is ripping off Sean Ross Sapp, and that is unacceptable.
Wait.
If you know, you know.
Did he take their mom on a date, Joel?
Anyway, so nobody's there when they turn around, and there's one dude in a major player shirt, and he's like, you're going to take Joe Hendry's mom on a date? does Chelsea know about this? And I thought that was absolutely, he's like, does your wife know about this? And he just walks off in disgust. And then some stagehand is just like, oh, Your Edge's Bitch, I love that song. And Matt Cardona just loses his stuff. It's funny. It's stupid. Next week, Joe Hendry and Matt Cardona have a match for the Digital Media Championship. Did you like this? Was this the best diss track of all time? Yes or no? You say no, I got to find a new co-host.
I think he found all of Max Caster's old raps that he wasn't going to use in the trash and then picked it up and said, yo, I heard rapping on the beat is for jabronis. Chris Bay literally released a whole rap album. He's in the same locker room. You could have asked him for pointers.
Yeah, too much.
When he said your hair is blonde and your beard is black, I'm like, Matt Cardona, so is yours. It was so bad. I spent more time laughing. I couldn't even. I was sports entertained. It was good. It was bad. I lived. I died. I lived again just to die again.
Yeah. It was everything it should have been in that. Cardona loves making an ass of himself. He's trying to be serious, but of course it fails. So why not? This is completely perfect in line with making Joe Hendry look good and just making this storyline make a little bit more sense and more heat on it.
I would love to see them actually get like serious in a promo battle between the two of them, because I think that'll be serious comedy. See, I was half expecting something serious. I know Matt Cardona's funny. Like, I was half expecting something serious. And when I got what I got, I kind of felt like, you know whose fault that is? Yours, Cresta.
Chad is agreeing with you. Rapping on the beat is for jabronis.
It is. It is.
Next week, we talked about a digital media championship. Joe Hendry and Matt Cardona one-on-one. Good Hands take on Tommy Dreamer, Mickey James, for whatever reason, on the island of Busted Open. Two qualifying matches for No Surrender. Brian Myers takes on Dirty Dango. PCO takes on Shira. For some reason, I wrote Sherry in my notes. And then for the Knockouts Tag Team Championships, Death Dolls take on Taylor Wilde and Kinky Killer Kelly. Post Cardone.
I saw. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. I don't know any Post Malone songs to even try to do a spiff, but that's it. That's Post Cardone. His first album is going to be called Zack Ryder. You brought her.
Ryder, I don't even know her. Oh, God, no. Ooh,
he's going to send us a cease and desist.
I've gotten worse text messages, to tell you that much. I've shared them with you, too.
Open up to you. Listen here, you little bitch.
Let's pop into our main event. Josh Alexander, Rich Swann, Yuya Uemura, and Frankie Kazarian take on the team of The Design, Diener, Angels Khan, and Sami Callihan. Listen, from the moment they announced this match, I'm like, cool, Yuya's taking a pin. That's all I got.
Bro, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, so either Angels or Yuya's taking the pin, depending on how this goes.
No, it was always Yuya taking that pin, let me tell you.
I was like, in a spicy turn of events, if The Design lost, I could see Callihan taking the pin in a spicy turn of events. But that wasn't happening.
Lots of cohesiveness from The Design throughout, which I like because they are the actual team. Mm-hmm. There's a point where Rich Swann is getting taken out. He's taken all the beat down.
Yes. He's
taken it all. Khan flips Swann over his head and he flips on top of him. Just kind of like does a full barrel roll. And then Angels hits top rope dropkick on Swann, who's already on his knees. Eventually, Rich Swann fights out of the corner, gets a hot tag Josh Alexander. Josh goes on a tear and then gets knocked into his corner where Yuya Uemura blind tags Alexander. And that's the moment I'm like, well, that's the finish. Sammy eventually gouges Yuya's eyes, goes for the Cactus Driver. But Diener stops him from doing the thumbs up, thumbs down, which, like, if I'm trying to win a match, I'm not going to try and stop my team. Like, I get the idea here that you're trying not to empower him. You're trying to strip away everything that made him the death machine, blah, 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 blah. But, like, you got to win the match, and he's about to win the match. Why would you stop him from winning the match? That part, the psychology didn't really work for me.
Desire for control. I'm not going to hold you. Like, I like Dina's character. I think it's complex, but I feel like maybe I'm putting too much thought into this, but I feel like Diener feels like he cannot measure up to Eric Young. So you're trying to do everything a little bit differently, but follow the design thing. But you need to have control. You need to have power. That's why you didn't do the whole design with the guys in the yellow suits. You have who you have, and you require complete obedience because you know what it's like to be on the other end. And you don't, I don't know if you don't think you got the stones to do what Eric Young did. Mm. I mean, you killed him, but I don't know if you got the stones to do that on a consistent basis. And again, maybe that's just me doing too much character development, but that's what it looked like to me. Like, you need to have control or else you think he's going to turn on you. Just like you maybe thought about turning on Eric Young, especially in the beginning.
It's one thing to kill the king. It's the other thing to rule with his
court. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it. And again, I would be okay with that if that's the case, if that's the story. It just felt in the moment, in the psychology of the match, it just felt like, bro, why are you stopping him? Why would you? But again, the idea here is that we're stripping away everything from Sammy. We're making him feel less than and giving him that one thing that he enjoyed before he hit his move. That kind of strips away that that feeling of any power he had. So anyway, Alexander comes back in. Everyone does their little single big spot leading to the finish. Yuya goes to the crossbody. Diener trips him up. Sammy hits Cactus Driver 97, gets the win. The design win. We're on to the next step. Step five, whatever that is next week. Sammy lives to see another day in the design. What do you think of the match? It was a pretty straightforward A-man tag, main event. Nothing personally I can think of that stood out to me.
Even though Uemura took the pin, I got to give him credit for earthing the hell out of Khan, because Josh Alexander couldn't even do it. And he picked that man up. I don't know if it was a Uranagi or a modified angle slam, but all this man's leggies was in the air. And Josh Alexander couldn't even do that. So I thought that was at least a cool spot to let him have. But yeah, it was a simple match. It was straightforward. I'm not complaining about it. The only joke I'm not going to say it.
No. We have time for it. Is it completely inappropriate?
Maybe. This audience might find a little too spicy.
All right, tell me. Then I'll just tweet it.
I mean, Nah. You know, I like this. I'm coming up on a year here at Fightful, and I'm not trying to get
fired. I'm not gonna get you fired. It's fine. Shout out to Wu-Tang Clan, by the way. It's good stuff.
You guys in the comments, if you're watching this later, give us your best rap group for Matt Cardona and Zack Ryder, besides Edge's bitch, EB.
Eric EB. Bitch off too? Okay, here we go.
Eric bitch off? Is that what you said?
Edge's bitch off.
Edge's...
Listen, man, I'm just here for the reformation of the flock. That was Impact for February 2nd, 2023. Is there anything we missed? Anything that you really wanted to shout out from this episode?
Oh, me? I thought you were talking to the chat.
Chat, they're on like a 30-second delay. They can still send a super chat if they want. I don't know. It's fine. But I'm asking you, my one-on-one.
Nah, dog. I thought it was good. Like I said, it was a very simple match. The fact that I enjoyed this Bully Ray segment for no other reason than it was sheer comedy. I want to see Bully versus Mickey James. And if it's not it, the only acceptable answer is Nick Aldis versus Bully Ray. Beat him up. Lose the Leafs. Loser shaves their beard.
Shaves their beard. I don't know about that.
Think Nick Aldis has a beard. I don't know. I don't think.
Do you think Scott D'Amore comes back at Sacrifice because he's from Windsor?
I mean, the numbers don't lie. And they spell disaster for Bully Ray at Sac. Can you imagine if he comes back with Scott Stein?
No, first of all, I'm going back to the Macklin stuff, damn it.
I saw the fantasy book in Scott D'Amore coming down with Scott Stein and the big Papa Pup with the. I was literally going to have a chainmail on my head dressed like Scott Steiner.
Bring this back already.
No, I can't do it again because I was supposed to dress up like Scott Steiner this week and I decided against it. I didn't want to be rude. But the more I see this, the more I want to come in with a really poorly drawn on beard. And just shout for 30 minutes.
Just, oh my God, for 30 minutes. Oh, good luck to your voice, man.
Next week, I'll be like, hey, guys, it's me, Cresta. Let's talk about Impact. I sucked off a carburetor.
We're going to start getting you on like WCW 2000 review shows.
Let's do it. I'm down the clock. Anything when it comes to wrestling, honk, honk.
We used to do that on Twitch. We used to watch the old WCW pay-per-views.
I mean, let's bring it back. Let's watch old stuff because I have at least between 2003 No, that's a lie. Maybe 2008. I don't know. Whenever Old Boy started drinking milk and John Cena just came out, and 2018 to catch up on. I missed the whole Daniel Bryan movement. I missed TNA when he was really like, oh, Booker T a bad man. Booker T sounds like, I missed that whole thing. So we could go back and watch old TNA, old Impact, and be upset together.
Oh, my goodness. Until then, Cresta, let's get out of here. Where can the people find you on the internet?
You can find me every Thursday here with Joel Pearl at 10 p.m.-ish. We talk about the post-impact, which is what we just did. I don't know how else to describe it. Saturdays, you can find me at 1 p.m. with Gaming Gone Weird. We now have a new co-host, Nick Tanner. We'll be talking about a bunch of weird games. And on Mondays and Wednesdays, you can find me on twitch.tv/CrestTheStar. Going over Raw and AEW. You can also find me on Twitter, CrestTheStar. Because Elon got me, gal. Where can they find you, Joel Pearl?
You know, Nick was on KYN today with Jimmy.
I hope he had fun, because I did KYN once with Jimmy. And where Jimmy finds these stories, literally the same place Impact finds these stories, on the ground.
Oh, man, go check out Know Your News. I produced that that weekly Thursday show, and it's a blast. ask Nick about his dogs. Anyway, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. Drop us a thumbs up. Say hello. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.